Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the work group one under the Information Blocking Task Force. So, as a reminder, this group is looking at relevant statutory terms and provisions as it relates to information blocking. We have a two-hour call today. I know, sorry, we're a little bit late getting started here, but we'll do a quick roll call, and then we'll jump right into it. Andy Trestot?
Present.
Michael Adcock?
Here.
Cheryl Turney? Have Cheryl on yet? I believe John Key is going to be absent. Denny McCollum? I see she's on the Adobe. We'll give her time to dial in. And Cynthia Fisher?
Yes, this is she.
Okay. Great. I will turn it over to our co-chairs to get us started.
Well, good morning / afternoon, everyone. This is Michael Adcock. I appreciate everyone being on the call. I appreciate all of the great discussion last week and all the work that's gone on, and we have another very busy week this week, including a, I'm sure, discussion-packed call today, but we need to start moving through the specific charges that this work group has been tasked with concerning information blocking and definitions. And we're going to start out for the first probably 45 or 50 minutes talking about health information networks and health information exchanges, and then move into then we're going to move into the discussions around I don't know where. Can you pull back the agenda, please? Perfect. We're going to go back into EHI, including our recommendations on that, including price information, request for information that was a big part of our discussion last week. And I think what we all heard, and we'll go into this more when we start that discussion, what we all heard in the task force, or at least what I heard, and I'm pretty sure what Andy heard as well, was that we do need to delve into that as a part of this work group meeting as a part of the task force. So we'll get started right away with health information networks and exchanges. And if Mark could pull up the Google Doc, and we can start working through that and start having some discussion.
Yep, sure thing, Michael. And just pulling it up now. I guess, Katie, can you just let me, or whoever, let me know. I'm not sure which. I have two monitors, and I want to make sure I'm sharing the right screen. So let me pull it up. There we go. Can you all see it now? I need to zoom in. But are you seeing anything besides the lake right now?
No, that's
yep,
you've
we,
got the.
We can see it.
All right, yeah. Perfect. Great. All right, so Michael, you want to start with health information
yeah.
networks and exchanges, is that right? Scroll
yeah.
down to that.
Yeah, that's how the agenda goes. I think we'll start there and then come back to EHI and talk about the pricing information as well.
Great. And I'll scroll down to, I know we've already touched on all these topics previously, so we can kind of, if it helps, go through what was said before and work our way through and come up with some recommendations.
Yeah, and I think that Andy had put some things in there as well and may have a couple of thoughts. Andy, if you want to kick in your thoughts, and we'll get the discussion started.
Sure. Well, I think, I'd like to start moving to actually the at least putting down the draft recommendations we're going to make upwards. This is going to be difficult because John isn't on the phone here. But Cynthia, Denny, you are. So if we look, to what extent is the group comfortable with these definitions as they currently stand in 102? I've got some updates, that I think we should talk about access, exchange, processing, handling, or use. Cynthia, you had some discrete concerns when we spoke before.
And maybe while people are thinking, I'll just kind of frame it one more time. So just real quickly, and I know I've said this before, but, CURES has these four actors, and what we're trying to do here is to provide definitions for provider, developer, and in this case, health information exchange and network, to make sure it covers the full scope of actors that should be covered, but also it isn't too broad, and it strikes the right balance. So that's our goal, feel free to weigh in.
And I've included the text, you know, below the line at the bottom, so we can actually start editing it together. And
yep, here we go.
If we want to change stuff.
So this
Andy, could you restate that? I didn't hear you clearly.
Oh, only the, below the line at the bottom of the section. I've just put the text of the actual rule so that we can start editing it and together.
Okay, the screen keeps moving, right? So you're on below this line are recommendations from the work group.
Yep, so that is the text that we can start editing and tailoring together.
And is what is printed there exactly as it states in the rule? And Mark is representing HHS, right? He's on the phone.
Yes, so I believe Andy just copied the text that I had up above and moved it down there so you guys can see it and work off of it to see if you want to tweak or make recommendations to that language.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah,
thanks, Andy.
Sure.
Okay, so health information exchanges. Are we comfortable with the wording and the definition? If not, let's discuss it so we can get the recommendations going. Anybody have any input on that? I know that John was a big part of that discussion. I don't know if we can certainly let him look at the Google Doc if anybody has any comments.
Okay, so let's just talk about health information exchange / HIE. I'm a little bit cautious of the use of the word enable. Because that's more of a functional as opposed to a noun. I was proposing changing that to facilitating. Or facilitates. And then inserting the words processing. I can delete these again. Handling in there as well.
And, just a note. Your recommendations are your recommendations. But again, the access exchanger use is directly from CURES. So from our perspective,
Yeah, and Andy, I believe that, you know, us changing this, you know, that was within CURES, and it was probably very well thoroughly thought through. And I think to not see the original word, so like when you change the words, here, then we don't see a red line and we don't see what was there and what was in CURES. I think it's a bit problematic because it then changes the definition. If you underline facilitates, but we don't have what the original word is, then, you know, it's just hard to follow it.
Okay. The original words are provided at the top of this section, 171.102,
yeah, I know,
and the original words are there. We don't have a facility in the Google Docs to do red line changes.
That's what I was looking for.
Well, maybe if you keep the original word that enables and then you put the underlined word that you want to add next to it, then it's not like,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because
if you remove
the original word.
I'll go back. Yeah, I haven't got strike through as a capability either, so I can't do strike through. Okay.
Andy, why don't you copy Exchange down a second version, and you can make edits to that right below, so we can have the original up top, and then right below, you'll have the one that you work off of. Does that make sense?
I can do that if people can see it on screen. That's fine. There you are. I've done it. The reason why I'm suggesting this is that, and I understand why we've used Access Exchange or use. I get why you did that. Okay, and I like the fact that it's generally consistent, apart from, Mark, as we discussed previously, two or three notable exceptions where we actually, in the rules, deviate, even though CURES did not. I get that. The reason is that a health information exchange, they're not all created equal. And some do far more than others, and some do far less than others. And we can have health information exchanges which actually do a whole bunch of processing themselves and maintain repositories themselves, which would, those repositories they maintain themselves in the processing they do and would not be deliberately called out in the current definition. That's my only point.
So are you looking for the big data aggregators behind the scenes that are using it for various purposes as well to be called out on this?
Well, I wasn't actually thinking of the big data aggregators. I think, but they are a useful one we can talk about. But I'm talking about in the health information exchange world. Someone like, say, a New York or a Texas, where you've got a network of networks set up, it is markedly different than where you've got some of the other states that have sort of core repositories sitting there, like, let's say, California, etc. And this definition is very much tailored towards the purity in exchange versus the hybrid nature that most of them are. And when you get into the private exchange world, because I believe that this definition, and Mark, keep us honest here, is supposed to encompass public and private, that it doesn't, in the private exchange world, there's much more sort of central repository type approaches.
So from the patient side of things, getting access, you're trying to be more inclusive of those that also process in the private side of the world and cover a broader definition of the exchanges. And the point that I brought up is in the Cures Act, is the Cures Act has networks and exchanges as small n and small e. And so... there are a lot, and through innovation, there will be a continuum of various networks and exchanges that will have both individualized and broad-based patient data. And we would be best served to make sure that we're inclusive of the small n and the small e, which was intended as the Cures Act was written, with networks and exchanges in the broad sense of the definition.
Yeah, and I think, frankly, the I don't really have any problem providing an amplified definition. It feels like ONC does, certainly from Mark's comments, and that they wouldn't want to augment the definition, which, as you just pointed out, I think means we stray away from the intent Congress had.
Sorry, Andy, can you say that one more time, just as far as what your interpretation of ONC is?
Well, the comment you made would imply that you don't want to move away from the current definition as it stands.
Well, so just to clarify, you know, I'm just here to kind of provide background and help move this conversation along, facilitate the conversation. I was just trying to explain where we were, what we were thinking with our definitions. And a lot of times with our definitions, we stuck as close as possible to the Cures language and tried to be consistent. But that's not to say if you think that it should be changed, you should definitely make those recommendations.
Yeah, and you know, to Cynthia's point, Cynthia has outlined her understanding of the intent of Cures. And my suggestion around some potential minor wordsmithing here is to maintain that intent.
Last time we get the word.
So perhaps then, Andy, I think to me, if we read the exact Cures language, my issue is that it has a small n and it has a small e, because you know that on a continuum, these things are amoeba. You know, they keep changing shape. But a network and an exchange through sort of the Webster's definition and small n and small e is wherever a patient's data is networked and exchanged.
No, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. The fact is that in the rules, we do need to have some kind of proper noun definition to put the boundaries in place. And right now, I think these boundaries are inadvertently have been set a little bit tight. And I agree with you, Cynthia. I think they should be a bit broader, which is why I was proposing the processing and handling language. And it's almost by definition the term enable. If you're information blocking, then you're not enabling. So by definition, you're not.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, so I see what you're saying. So I think perhaps maybe if we add your facilitate, you could say enable or facilitate. You know, keep it broad, and your processes. You know, all the things you want to add, anything to add on to it as additive. But then I would add, and you know, the opening for technological exchange and change of exchange, that anywhere in the broad sense of the definition as relayed and cured, which is networked or exchanged for individuals and entities.
Yeah, so I think we're having a conversation about maintaining the original direction and intent, whilst there are some language changes, like, you know, the definition of a proper noun, and that brings that level of ambiguity that we just need to make sure we don't get. I think we're on the same page. So can you see your screen?
Mm-hmm. And I would suggest that you could say enables or facilitates. You know,
okay.
So some of them may enable, some may, like the original intent is to make it as broad as possible. And I think it is also that we should somehow talk that it's a small N and a small E, anywhere it's networked, anywhere it's exchanged.
Hey, Andy, just for my clarification, can you? I'm still having trouble understanding the kind of the key difference between enable and facilitate.
Okay, enable means you make something happen. Facilitate means you try to make something happen.
Okay. As far as recommendations go, if you guys move forward with this, that would be helpful to kind of explain, you know, for preamble purposes, the distinction.
How about seeks to enable?
Well, I don't get, because then it's narrower. Like, you know,
Andy, I like enables or facilitates. I think that it covers both the action and the desire for the action, or the coordination of the action. Cynthia, do you agree? I mean, I think that certainly makes it broader than just focusing on the word enables.
Yes, and I think you also had process there as well, Andy. Right? You had added process. Oh,
yeah, I haven't got there yet. I want to test whether you're comfortable with that first.
Well, I'm really comfortable when we go back to what Cures said, and it's a small N and a small E. And
but we can't do that. That's the problem. We have to have a definition.
Well, you can. You could basically also say the intent is that where networks in the broad sense of the definition, exchanges in the broad sense of the definition exist, that these apply. These information blocking rules would apply. And 21st century cures would apply.
You're not supposed to use a word to define itself.
Pardon?
You're not supposed to use a word to define itself. So we shouldn't really use the word exchange with a lowercase e to define exchange with a capital E.
Yeah, but you could use the word network, Andy, and pull up the Merriam-Webster dictionary definition of what a network is and what an exchange is. And that's what we did. We looked up the network. I have it on me now, but I can get it to you.
Cynthia, I understand the English definition of network. I don't believe we should use a word like exchange to define network or a word like network to define exchange, because we have two discrete definitions here, health information exchange and health information network. And to use any of the wording of one to describe the other would be confusing long term.
I agree with you on that. What I'm saying is separately, the industry has come up with a narrower definition of a certain type of network, which is a capital health information exchange, and then health information network. But those are narrower definitions than the broader use of the word that CURES has of the word network, which you can define under Merriam-Webster, and the word exchange under Merriam-Webster.
And just as a point of background, I mean, Cynthia, you're right, and I can pull up the language. It is just network and exchange. But with our definitions, we were trying to, again, strike that balance, because it seems like the intent of CURES was to focus on health information exchanges and health information networks, and that's why we went that direction.
Well, I understand, but you can understand that there are narrower third-party groups that are creating these individual groups versus there are other enterprises that are sharing information in a broader sense of network and a broader sense of exchange.
Is there, this
like,
is Michael.
Like, what would be an example of that?
Well, you know, I've seen some significant software data that protects certain entities from fines, and it has the entire financial and health and the software and the health information drilled down by patients, and that's a network exchange. So there's lots of players that have individualized exchange of health information that are outside of these HINs and HIEs.
What you're trying to accomplish here is to broaden the definition of health information exchange with a capital E to the point of including exchanges with the lowercase e, correct? I mean, can we not just do it within the definition? And that's what I perceive trying to do is, while we don't want to use the term exchanges to define exchange, we could use the definition within exchange, the lowercase e, inside the HIE uppercase. So continue doing what you're doing, just broaden it to the point where it covers everything that would be considered in a lowercase e. I don't know how you protect against the future, but we could certainly put some language in there to that without having to go in and use exchange to define exchange.
So somebody needs to be able to read the rule and understand who it applies to. If I read the statement, it applies to practically, I mean, so many entities, clearinghouses. Cynthia is referring to, I mean, it would be huge. It would be very broad.
Denny, you're breaking up quite significantly. We're getting probably every third word.
Oh. Hmm. Sorry about that. I don't know if I'm... Am I still?
Try again. Let's see if we get...
Yeah. If you repeat the same sentence three times, maybe we'll get a whole sentence at the end.
I was just saying people have to be able to read it and understand who it applies to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the health information exchange definition is in two parts. The first part is the what, and the second part is the who. You know, that I've just put the cut there. So we've got the what, and then we have the who. Now, beyond the fact that I'm not a fan of having the word exchange used in there, I get why ONC would like to keep that there, because you know, that is consistent with the language in CURES, even if it's not necessarily consistent with the absolute intent. I'm just proposing inserting the word processing and handling as functions, and I inserted the word other as well, because that should capture the future proofing that Cynthia is looking for. Are we at least comfortable as a group with the front side of this slight tweaking? The functional side.
Andy, while they're thinking about that, yeah. So just for my clarification, so you don't think that processing and handling would be encompassed in access exchange use?
No, because some of the HIEs will move data from A to B and never look at it, and that is exchange. But some of the HIEs actually go and look at that data and do things with it and store it, and that's processing and handling another use. And well, I'm just trying to be absolutely crystal clear, we mean both.
Okay, gotcha.
So, but you have in mind a specific set of actors that you are calling health information exchanges. And this definition is way broader than that.
Oh, absolutely. Look, we'll get to that second part in a minute. I agree with you right now that, you know, I think that we should be seeking to tweak and tune the breadth of the actors covered by this. Partly because we do have other definitions to capture those actors as well. But a health information exchange is something particular in industry, and that's what we should be capturing. But there are different flavors of it. It's just, and this is my opinion, it's not, I don't want to railroad too hard, you know. Guys, I want to discuss it.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I'll just add in here that if you look at the future, there may be players very separate than what the players that we know today are. And the health information exchanges are sort of sub-entities of handshaked partners that have agreed to do business together, right, in some ways. But if I go to CURES Act and I read the language straight up, and I don't know if everybody has that, if we have it right on hand, it might be helpful if someone has it right on hand. I'll have to ask my assistant to pull it up.
Yeah, I can pull it.
We've got it here. Yeah.
Pull it and put it in.
Language specifically in CURES do you want to see?
And it's discussions of networks and exchanges.
Sure. Yeah, give me one second.
I'm just trying to pull it up. I'm just trying to find it myself.
I just have the beginning of the information blocking provision pulled up, but if you want me to scroll down, let me know.
Yeah, and I guess my point is if you look even the discussion of network exchange, they're all small ends, right? And ease. And it's really spoken throughout CURES here in a broad sense. And information blocking, wherever this data, this information, the health information is, you know, traded and exchanged and networked across across entities. So my concern is just even the just that maybe if we, my comment would be is that we establish the broad sense that this applies, you know, as we look toward the future with the small n and the small e, defined as they would be in a Merriam-Webster way. And for now, we know that the healthcare systems in this concentrated effort has created HIEs and HINs.
Just a point about that, and I definitely understand what you're saying, but it seems like you also agree that it should be limited to the health information kind of landscape, right? Because the definition of exchange and network in the dictionary is going to be very, I don't know what it is exactly, but it's going to be very, very broad. So we have to be, I think from our perspective, we just want to be careful, you know, who exactly we'd be covering if we did that.
Yes, and it, we, health information is lowercase too here, right? So yes, it's the health information, and it's lowercase, and I think that's the point. Is the future is going to be very different. If we tighten that HIEs and HINs, they may go away in 10 years. You know, we have to think of revolutions that will, you know, that we can lay the pipe for the future. I guess that's my point.
Not
create definitions that just define small subgroups as we are today, that we may entangle ourselves in our own underwear.
That's really helpful. And just I'm gonna butt out. Just want to say, I definitely see what you're saying. And to kind of to your point, and we talk about it in preamble. We created what we call functional definitions, where we're not trying to just capture entities that self-identify as a health information exchange or network. We're trying to capture entities that act as we're defining in our definitions. So, and that's how that the overlap, you know, that we've talked about, that you could potentially be a developer, but you could also qualify as an exchange or network, or you could be a provider, but you're acting as a network. So that's kind of where we're coming from, is trying to look at the function of the entity or actor.
Cures, is there no, is there any definition at all of exchanges and networks?
There's not a definition. You know, if you go back to the document, I put a post to the URL. ONC itself has already released a definition of health information exchange. Scroll up. I'll put the URL in there for you. Up. There you go. No, there is actually a what is HIE already published by ONC, which is, you know, fairly long and stuff, but there's a whole different basis of direct exchange, query-based exchange.
So why didn't ONC use that?
I need to look at this link because I'm going to go look at it now. But I do want to say that I think what Andy's pulled up here is kind of our previous definition of health information exchange. But what we're talking about here is specific to information blocking. So the context of what we're talking about is information blocking.
Yeah. So if I got to the end of my sentence. Okay, what I've done is when I was thinking about this, I looked at what the market has currently got, because if you put stuff in the market which fundamentally changes definitions, that's not going to help anybody. Okay, so I looked at what we have right now, looked at where Cures wants us to go, which I think, you know, everything we're trying to do here is to be aligned as tightly as possible. Well, we have to be aligned with Cures and the principles that Congress asked us to do. And that's what I'm proposing with the slight tweaking and rewording of HIE in here. My suggestion is we remove the word exchange, so it focuses upon the function of an HIE, which is access, processing, handling, or other use of electronic health information. And then we get onto the point that Denny's going to talk to us about, I think, at length, around the scope of that. Because when we say a particular class of individuals or entities for a limited set of purposes, I have no idea what that means.
So just to bring it back around, so Cynthia, is there something you feel that needs to be added to the HIE definition as it sits there to make it broader or more aligned with what we're trying to, what Cures was trying to get us to accomplish?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to call, I just know that there's, I want to make sure that we get whatever in there we need to have in there, because I don't know, I haven't looked through the entire Cures Act, but I don't, is health information exchange capitalized in there anywhere?
No.
No.
Okay. Well,
so this is my concern is Cures Act doesn't have it capitalized in there. And it speaks in a very broad sense. So, you know, I'm looking at it from a patient perspective where, you know, I sit between two colleagues. One's waiting 8 days for the results of a brain scan. The other one had thyroid surgery and couldn't get the report after 2 weeks of the cancer of the thyroid. So, you know, they try to get it, and the surgeon says, I don't do that. You get it from someplace else. So, you know, it's like, okay, if there's any exit out of here, and then I'm also looking at the future already, it's so hard for people, even though it's digitally in their healthcare mass general system, that patients aren't getting access. And in a broad sense that when I hear them tell the stories, it's like, well, my surgeon says she's not responsible, or my primary care said it's not theirs. So they get stuck trying to chase it down and they can't get it. And so I'm just looking at, if we narrowly say only the health information exchange, I just think that whenever that is digitized and it's there, in the broad sense of networking for whatever information tied to a patient, whether it's their clinical or their health information or their care plan, it in a broad sense, Congress is trying to get that patient access availability. We agree with you
150%. This is a single definition of health information exchange, which sits alongside the definition of health information network, which also sits alongside a broader preamble around who the potential actors are. We have to look at these as a whole and not myopically focus upon a single term and think that that is supposed to represent everything, because it's not. But in the legislation is broad, and I think with the rules, what ONC is seeking to do is provide clarity so that there is a clear understanding of, yes, I am in scope, as opposed to, well, if I read it one way, I could be. If I read it another way, I could be. If I look at the Merriam-Webster definition, then I should be, but if I look at the Urban Dictionary version, I'm not. You know, I think, and that's what we're tasked with here. And this is one term that needs to be defined because it's used to refer to elsewhere.
And just a comment, I think, Cynthia, it sounds like maybe your issue is more with the definition of electronic health information, because really that's, you know, that's in the definition of HIE and HIN, and it sounded to me like you were saying you're concerned about the scope of the information down the road that might be included. Like, you don't want to limit. No, that's not it. Okay.
Not on this point. My point here is that, you know, this says an individual or entity that enables or facilitates, but if they're not enabling or facilitating, they're information blogging, you know, like, look at the reverse of that flip. To me, it should be any entity that networks or exchanges the information, like, or is connected. If they're providing it to another party, they got to provide it to the patient, right? And that wherever patient information is exchanged or networked.
Well, okay, so let's
in the broad
pick up
sense.
On that.
So that's the concern. You know, if I'm not giving you the information, I'm not held accountable if you read that definition. right? if I'm a provider,
Cynthia, I don't agree with you. Yeah. I'm sorry. If you're seizing upon a single definition and seeking to apply this single definition to any potential actor, and that's not the intention. This intention is to capture those organisations who are involved in moving information from A to B, and in some way may or may not do something with that information as it's moving. But these are the organisations that facilitate that movement, not necessarily an organisation that is patient-facing, although they might be. You know, an actor could be a health information exchange as well as a provider, as well as a health information network potentially. But you can't, there are organizations and entities out there who are not providers, but are health information exchanges. And we can't seek, and we shouldn't seek to mandate this very, very broad set of responsibilities upon an organization that frankly is not equipped and is not appropriate to directly provide that information to a patient. They enable and facilitate the transfer of that information, absolutely, and they must not block that, and they must make it happen, but they wouldn't necessarily be doing the direct patient, here you are patient, here is your information. They are part of the overall continuum.
Right, so the surgeon that you were talking about in your earlier example, Cynthia, would be covered under provider, and they could not information block. And all these other groups would be covered under individual definitions. This is a definition of an entity that identifies as a health information exchange. So it just, it's one of many, I mean, to me, and maybe I'm reading this wrong way, it's one of many actors. It doesn't mean that a physician isn't required. It just means that these people that do these tasks are required, not are prohibited from information blocking. So it doesn't exclude the providers. The providers are defined somewhere else. The actors are defined somewhere else. These are specific actors. Am I wrong in that?
That's my understanding. Denny, what do you think?
It's just, these are two of many definitions, not just the only two. And if we don't get it all in here, they're not going to be held accountable. I mean, if the provider's not giving the patient and believe me, as a direct care provider, I completely understand what you're saying. As a clinician and as a patient, I understand what you're saying about not being able to get results. That wouldn't be covered under the health information exchange unless the health information exchange was the one blocking it. If the surgeon's not giving the information or the PCP's not giving the information, they would be held accountable under the provider definition, unless I'm reading this the wrong way.
I think that's right, Michael. Basically, there's four categories of actors, and you have to look at those definitions to understand the full scope of real-life entities that would be covered.
Yeah. And that's kind of partly why we started looking at the term actors, which is the very bottom section of this document.
Yeah, I understand the actors. Everyone, I think it's just enabling the broadness that of the definitions of the way the cures was written was broad, and the intent was broad, that where it's networked and exchanged, and the narrower you define these buckets of today, then the more complicated. And the less breadth on accountability. And the patient gets, as we know now, today the patient and the great clinician get caught in the middle because these one points to the other of being the responsible deliverer. So that was my input. You know, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I do want to point out that I think that it still would behoove us to broadly lay the pipe, that it's a big pipe for the future that of a small N and a small E of exchanging health information. And health information is defined in HIPAA in previous law. But we look at the capital HIEs and HINs as entities that exist today to share this information and their accountability. So I think there's room for both, is my point. And I think that if you think of the pipe being broad that we can lay, and that a conduit of an HIE and a conduit of HIN and a conduit of a provider, I think it behooves us to think as CURIS was intended. That's all.
Well, why don't we, Mr. Chair, why don't we try and work through and then come back and test with Cynthia whether the definitions as revised appropriately meet the breadth that CURIS intended?
That's fine. I was just going to ask Cynthia, what is missing from the definition as we have it now that would not cover what we're looking for? I mean, not just the thought. We all, as far as I haven't heard a lot from Denny. Probably just been enjoying the conversation back and forth. But I don't know of anybody right now that disagrees with you as far as keeping it broad and holding people accountable. What in this definition? Because we need to come up with a recommendation of. I think that we need to change or recommend a change to the definition to make it more broad. What's missing from this definition that would need to cover health information exchanges, not necessarily electronic health information? We're going to discuss that a little bit later. Well, not a lot later because we're already to that time now, but I think we need to move forward with this. But what's missing, Cynthia?
I have to get back to them on that, and I'd be happy to do so.
Okay. Well, Andy, you want to keep moving through, and Denny, do you have anything to add to this? If not, we'll kind of word craft some stuff right here and come back and discuss this, because I think that we're all agreeing on the same points. We all want this to be broad enough to cover the actors that need to be covered, and cover, more importantly, the actions that need to be covered. So I think we're all agreeing on this. We just need to make sure that we can move forward with some type of record.
Yeah, so this is Denny. Have we discussed the second half of the sentence? Is that what we're going to do next?
Because I hope so. Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah, let's go ahead with that.
Yeah, I must admit, I just got one proposed little tweak as well. Enables, facilitates, or performs. We can come back and work through this in the next meeting, but I just want to capture that while it's in my head. Okay, the second part of this. Primarily between or among a particular class of individuals or entities for a limited set of purposes. I'm personally, just as if I was reading this in a contract, I'd be like, I'll throw it out and say, that doesn't help. Primarily, okay, does that mean they have to do it as a, well, you guys understand that. And then a particular class, well, what is that particular class? And limited set, what is that limited set? Those are probably my big concerns with that statement. I'll underline them there so you can see what.
Right. I mean, to me, we would have to define that somewhere. What are those limited, you know, what are the primarily and limited, what are the definitions of that? What groups of people are we talking about?
I would argue the limited set of purposes, we've already said in this sentence, is access, exchange, processing, and handling. That's the limited set of purposes.
Yeah, this is Denny. I'm struggling with how to modify it, but it doesn't mean anything, right?
Right. Yeah, I don't understand why we couldn't use period after electronic health information.
That's a good point, actually. Mark, could you comment on the original intent of this?
Well, yeah. I mean, and I had briefly pulled up preamble where we talk about some examples. We say that HIEs include but are not limited to regional health information organizations, state health information exchanges and other types of organizations, entities, or arrangements that enable EHI to be accessed, exchanged, or used between or among particular types of parties or for particular purposes. So that last part is, I believe, to differentiate exchanges from networks. And as you can see, networks doesn't have that limiting language about for the limited set of purposes that we talk about. So I think it's, you know, Congress made it clear that they wanted to differentiate between exchanges and networks, and here we're doing that with our definitions.
So between unaffiliated parties?
Sorry, say that one more time.
You broke up there.
Oh, sorry. Between unaffiliated parties, is that what the examples you give are exchange between?
Right.
Yeah,
so that's what I picked up. So the if you look at the definition of network down below, that's the key. That's one of the key pieces of the network, is that you're doing these things between or among two or more unaffiliated individuals or entities. So that's network. But with exchange, it's more focused. It's a more refined class of individuals or entities, because it's a particular class for a limited set of purposes.
But what particular class and what limited services?
Well, so here's my take on that. You know, it's definitely open for comment and interpretation. I guess to the conversation we were just having, if you narrow that, then you're narrowing the scope of the definition. What we were trying to do is find this balance between clarity for the reader, but also enough wiggle room that it covers the appropriate group of people who are functioning in a certain way. That was our goal. But again, open for comment.
I must confess, I really like the saying HIE is around affiliated parties and HIN is around unaffiliated parties. I quite like that. That feels a logical separation of the two. Otherwise, you know, to Cynthia's point, they're all exchange, lowercase e, of information.
But what I think of as an HIE that you defined, a state health information exchange, et cetera, as the examples, those aren't affiliated unless you consider they're working together on the exchange to be an affiliation.
Well, that's exactly what I was saying. You have to be a member of the exchange, and that provides the affiliation.
And just a note, the discussion of this in preambles on page 343.
I really hope there's some public questions and comment on this. This would be useful. This would be really nice to hear.
Yeah, as I read what's here written, underlined, primarily between and among particular class of individuals, entities for a limited set of persons, I think that really narrows it, and I think that is discongruous with what Cures Act wrote that Mark provided us earlier. And if I'm looking at the definition of a network, you know, it's really, if I look up, say, the Cambridge definition, I think Andy has a little bit of an English accent there, so we'll add the English to the English. It's a large system consisting of many similar parts that are connected together to allow movement or communication between or along the parts, and between the parts and a center or a control center. So the provider could be a control center, and then there's movement between the parts in a broad sense of the word of network. So I just think that we, you know, kind of have the role to make sure that we cast that net far and wide.
Okay, I think as a group, we're all struggling with the primarily particular cast limited set. Is that fair?
Yes. Correct.
Okay. Now I inserted in the first part of the sentence for discussion the term legitimately, because that should cover, you know, all the boundaries around whether it's appropriate to do in this exchange or not, and then kind of put a period after information and just stop the sentence. But I'm intrigued by the affiliated parties versus unaffiliated. Go on.
What does legitimately mean?
Legal.
Andy?
Legal. Maybe it's the wrong word, but.
I just think it's peculiar.
Okay. That's okay. We can remove it. Okay, so take that out, but then I'm struggling with the class. I mean, I understand the preamble. I'm not sure this achieves what the preamble was looking to do. You know,
right.
What's the difference supposed to be between an HIE and an HIN?
That's a great question.
Is it just the affiliated versus unaffiliated is the big difference?
When it defines affiliated earlier in the preamble under the HIN definition, for this purpose, we propose that two parties are affiliated if one has the power to control the other, or if both parties are under the control, common control or ownership of a common owner.
Okay, well, if you're a member of a health information exchange, then the exchange has the power to control you within the boundaries of the contract you have with them. I understand that's not what it was supposed to mean. If you're part of the same care organisation, then you're affiliated. I get that's what it's supposed to mean, but that's not what it says.
Yeah, and when you go to the broad sense of exchange, it's really the act of giving something and getting something that is similar in that exchange, you know, through an agreed upon share. It's sort of we're sharing this health information over the exchange. It's an agreed upon handoff, and the network is the pipes to allow the interconnectedness of that communication between the parts. And to me, the exchange is the value, the actual valued information that's going across the pipes that are prelaid handoffs of determined communication.
Okay. I've just put some wording on, I'm musing through. Sort of thinking that we could add this to the end of the definition, where the parties are not part of the same organisation or formalised agreement to share information. That capture kind of what the preamble is trying to do.
And then delete the primarily particular class.
Yeah, that's gone in my mind.
Thoughts from the other members?
So that says, I'm sorry, I was reading the preamble. The health information exchange, where the parties are not part of the same organization or part of a formalized agreement to share information?
Yeah.
There's something missing in that sentence.
Quite possibly. I'm not saying I'm the best draftsman.
But you're doing a great job of putting things in there.
How about that?
The overall purpose of that sentence, is everyone okay with where we are on health information exchanges?
I'm a little slow because I can only read the changed version. I can't see the other, like, I'm having trouble on my screen. I only have one. I don't have the original underneath it or above it. Like, I can't see it. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm inept at using my iPad for this. I can't see.
I'll just stick it right next to it. There we go.
And the original one is the bottom one.
Okay. Yeah.
So for my clarification, just because I'm tagging along here, so how is that? So what's the differentiation between HIE and HIN? Because it looks like there's some common threads you're putting in your proposed HIE definition.
Well, yeah, the HIN, there is either the organizations are part, sorry, the parties are part of the same organization. Yeah, they're part of the same organization. So an HIN is more of an organizational construct, I think, from looking at the preamble.
I think it's that the HIN is like the New York network. That's how when I read it, I thought it was describing the network of HIEs.
So did I when I first went through it. But then I look and say, in the HIN definition, we propose that two parties are affiliated if one has the power to control the other, or if both parties are under the common control or ownership of a common owner. That says to me that that's all alluding around parents and subsidiaries and a single group of balance sheets at the end of the day, as opposed to HIE, which is there's no direct relationship apart from the fact that you want to share the same information.
Just to highlight, so our definition of HIN has to do with unaffiliated individuals. Even I think we go through in preamble what affiliated means, but what we're saying is our definition is two or more unaffiliated individuals.
Oh, okay. So it's supposed to be the other way around.
Well, so here, just to be clear.
Okay, so it's supposed to be the other way around. We've got...
Well, you know, I find as, you know, I'm here just representing patients and caregivers and families, you know, and I look at this and go, if you all, you have been in this and, you know, knee deep for, you know, years from the various players side are confused about what an HIN and HIE are today, and we're all confused, one can only imagine how confusing it is to the outside world, right?
Well, I wasn't confused. I started reading the rules, actually. I thought I had a pretty good understanding. Now, actually, the way we always treat it is that the health information exchange is the verb and the health information network is the noun. And that's the kind of the way that we've always handled it generally in the market. This is seeking to put two proper noun definitions around it, which for different purposes.
And so then we have affiliated and unaffiliated. Okay, and I, you know.
Because also the term affiliate, well, affiliated means something in clinical delivery. If you're affiliated to a hospital or not as a provider. So that puts another kind of semantic around it.
And that affiliated doesn't even mean the same thing as this definition of affiliated means. We can have a provider affiliated with us that we don't control.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's why, dear friends on this committee, I keep going up 30,000 feet and I go back to what the Cures Act says and I go back to the narrower the definition, the more definitions get hijacked for the convenience of relationships and organizations. And in the broad sense, an exchange is the act of giving and sharing information, one thing for the other. And the network is classically the system of pipes and the agreements of the pipes that go along the way. And if you're trying to hold accountability for players across the system that network and then exchange the information through that network that has a broader accountability a far broader definition. And I think the question is that many different entities call things, like you said, as I don't know if that was Denny, about non-affiliated and whether they're within the hospital system or not. and affiliated, it changes. So I think this is a very slippery slope.
Okay. We get that, which is why we're trying to keep it broad, Cynthia. Danny, you've read through the preamble probably more than I have on this one. Whilst there are many, many different words used to describe HIE versus HIN, I'm struggling to actually put and ignore the affiliated versus unaffiliated thing, because I think that might be a bit of a red herring. They seem to functionally be the same thing. Is that fair? There's more words on HIN, but...
Yeah, but it does seem like an odd distinction between saying affiliated and not affiliated when HIEs are among, by this definition, unaffiliated entities as well. So can we just say that we don't think the definitions are clear for the moment? And right? Yeah. They don't identify the party specifically that this regulation would apply to. And we have in our heads, we all have in our heads that it applies to health information exchanges and entities like health information exchanges that take electronic health information and do something with it, share it among the parties, or use it for a registry. But we're having a hard time just defining that, I think.
Yeah, so RIO may well fall under the definition of a HIN. However, they specifically called out as a HIE in the preamble.
Right. So is the health information exchange one, the basic entity, and network is a higher level definition of, I mean, maybe it said network of like a network of information exchanges. Like if all this, like in New York. What's our other topic we're supposed to do today?
No, it's not, but we're hung up on it.
Just a quick note that they are not mutually exclusive. So if you look at the bottom of page 343, we do say that you can be both, clearly be both a HIN and an HIE.
Why do we feel we need the difference between the two? Just out of interest.
Is that to me or to the group?
Well, you can answer it if you've got an answer.
Well, my answer would be probably not too much to give there. I would say that Congress clearly made them into two different groups, and we are attempting to provide definitions for what Congress described as two of the actors under information blocking.
Well, did Congress say that an HIE was an actor?
They said exchange and network were two of the four actors.
Actually, they did say use of health information exchanges for patient access. Okay, so yeah, they did actually say an exchange was a... You know, just, okay. Boom, 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 boom.
And I thought the definition for group would be easy.
Here you go, Andy. I pulled up the Cures language again, right here. B.
Yeah,
in the other place.
Yeah. We all agree with what Cures is trying to do. It could have expressed it in a more helpful way at this point.
Do we want to look at this individually and put some notes in there and come back to it at the next meeting and go ahead on to the next topic? Because we're about 25 minutes over.
Yep.
All right, Mark, if you can move on to the next area. What I'll ask folks is to look at that, look at the potential definitions, you know, go back into Merriam's or Cambridge or Oxford or Webster or whoever you want to listen to for definitions, and you know, let's all give some thought to that so we can finalize that our next call. But for now, we will move on.
Well, where are we moving on to?
Hold on, I'm trying to see. In the agenda, it said electronic health information, including the pricing information. If I remember right, that
okay.
Was
but, yeah, but you mean the very first one, 171.102.
Yes. Because there was a lot of discussion in the general task force meeting, just like there was in our work group meeting last time, that pricing should be a part of this, that we should try to address pricing as a part of electronic health information. So we need to work towards finalizing this.
So I actually put some drafting in, and I actually left it largely intact because out of respect to the board task force around payment, I just left that wording in there. And I just inserted the whether human or machinable readable form because I think that's just a clarity more than anything else.
Excuse this PowerPoint pulling up. Wrong screen.
So I heard in the discussion of the full group that everybody agrees, like we all agree, that price transparency is very important, but not necessarily in this regulation. But maybe I misread.
I certainly agree with the first part of that, that everyone agreed it's important. And I thought that on balance, there wasn't an absolute majority. There was a majority feeling that, okay, payment information should be considered electronic health information within this definition.
But
this is not the the more exhaustive conversation that's in the next session around the comment regarding price information. This is purely around whether payment information should be considered EHI.
Can we scroll down to where your recommendation is?
Yeah, it's very minor.
Wait, I think we had it.
Did I go too far? Or
I think so.
You've gone too far.
Here, this?
Yeah.
There we go.
But which is the recommendation? Is it point two or I?
Yeah, to point two, but basically it's below this line of recommendations from the work group, which is the amendment to point two of electronic health information. In the blue box above, you have the original text. And the bit underlined is inserted. Nothing has been deleted.
And so
I guess I don't understand why you have that. You're recommending adding whether in human or machine readable form. Is that the recommendation?
That was my recommendation for discussion, because you know, it to avoid any conversation about, well, if something isn't understandable by a human when they read it, then that isn't actually health information. Well, that's not the case. If it's understandable by a machine, then it is. So if it's in SLOMED CT codes, it's still health information.
And I think this is. Can I, Andy? You mind if I just jump in? I just want to give a little more background
yeah.
about the EHI definition, because I think it's important. Is that okay?
Oh, please do. But if you're going to say, just so you know, the reason I suggested that is because we've repeatedly come across this over the last 15 years, where organizations get themselves tied up in knots talking about, well, if a person can read it, it's information. If they can't, it's just data, and we don't have to do the same thing with it. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to just kind of so you all understand, I think we talked about this before, but where we got our definition of EHI, and much of it was already established by Congress because they defined health information in the Public Health Service Act. But for our purposes, we needed to expand to electronic health information. So we kind of leveraged the HIPAA definition of electronic media. And then we really didn't do much else. We made the provision that EHI may be provided directly from an individual or from a technology. that the individual has elected to use, and that's really the only addition we made. We clarified that it does not include de-identified information, and then we had the request for information about pricing information. But I guess to my point, before you tear up the definition, that it's really based on established kind of law that so it's not like a new definition, essentially, is what I'm saying.
Yep.
I don't think that the purpose is to tear it up, but if the established definition is leaving a gap to where potential electronic health information could slide through and not be considered blocking if someone decided not to give it, I think that it is within our task to try to clarify that, that's what I read this as.
Oh, I agree 100%. I just wanted to give you the background. But that being said, if you think it needs revision, go right ahead.
Hey, look, you guys can reject our recommendations at a later point. This is purely coming from market experience of having had this conversation more times than I care to think about.
I'm sorry, I got called away while you were telling about the background. Was it because health information was only defined in electronic health information, wasn't, and that's all that this is trying to do?
Yeah. So basically, in the short version is that the majority of the definition was already established law. Like Congress defined health information in the Public Health Service Act, and then we leveraged some HIPAA language about electronic media, which is in the definition. And all I was saying is that we really didn't make many new changes except saying that EHI may be provided directly from an individual or from technology that the individual has elected to use. So we expanded that. But beyond that, much of the definition was already established, is what I was saying.
And we're agreeing with it.
Thank you, Mark.
Right.
That's very helpful.
Sure.
So thoughts about the underlined addition? No thoughts?
Well, I can provide one, but I want to hear what everybody else has to say first.
This is Denny. It doesn't bother me either way if we add it or don't. So don't feel strongly
cool.
about it.
It's just a... My view is purely, you know, from what Cynthia was saying earlier, this is supposed to be broad. It's supposed to cover that which I can easily read on screen and also that which I require some kind of IT to parse. And, and frankly, it's based upon experience in the real world.
I don't have an issue with...
It was helpful, Andy, to get your perspective of folks wanting to withhold information if they're just code related, right? So, you know, I think machine readable form can be sorted and explained and aggregated. So, you know, whether it goes into the definition or it's supported as, you know, inclusive of any, you know, human and machine readable form, whatever, you know, and not, you know, not, to be, you know, inclusive of in a broad sense. Without barrier or whatever. But I appreciate you bringing that insight to the equation.
Okay, so does anyone have any other check by definition?
I think we all like it in general. I think it's a good definition.
Oh,
Mark, did you
okay.
like it?
You said Mark?
Yeah. Liked it?
Oh, yeah. I think it's good.
Yeah. No, did you write it? Did you write the definition
no.
in the first place?
Right. No, like I said, it was already established. It was way before me. We just
copied it.
Took the pieces. Yeah, but... So are you guys all leaning towards keeping the whether human or machine readable addition?
I think if it addresses a real world potential issue, I'm fine with keeping it.
I would just ask that if you do, because I'm still trying to, I still don't totally understand. It seems to me that that is a narrowing term more than anything else. So if down the road when we make, when you all make the recommendation, it'd be helpful to me to kind of have explanatory language for why it's a necessary addition.
Okay. Right. So we'll put the language in.
I pull back. I pull back on it and support Mark with a broad electronic. Where it is electronic, it gets, you know, we don't want to narrow. So
Okay, guys.
We
this
keep
is not
broad,
an out out.
And what we can do is, you know, say like keep it broad, keep it as is, and add a separate sentence to say, you know, inclusive of, you know, it being in human and machine readable form. But I think that we don't want to narrow it. We really don't want to step over ourselves in narrowing. So I appreciate your insight to that, Mark.
I don't see how
this
that
doesn't narrow it. This broadens it.
Well, but wouldn't, again, I'm not trying to lead that. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, Cynthia.
I think we should leave the definition as is and then create a separate sentence that says, that you know that we want to ensure that it includes, you know, that it's open and broad to include human and machine readable form. If you want to add that, but it doesn't. We don't want to narrow the key definition. I think we leave the key definition and broaden in a second sense and enhancing it that we wouldn't want it to be denied of. Human and machine readable form, but I think the first broad base and then an additive and inclusive, you know, and not, and to include any. Then you do both. Then you accomplish both.
I'm still trying to, this is Michael, I'm still trying to look at it and see how adding that restricts anything. I don't understand how it's restrictive.
Well, so from my perspective, in writing the language, if you just have any other information that identifies, there's no clarifying language. But once you add clarifying language, you're narrowing. That's the way I'm reading it.
I agree. Any information is broad. It's any information that identifies the individual.
Define information. What does information mean? It's something which, you know, we'll go back to the Merriam-Webster definition of them, but it's something which directly informs you. The arguments I've heard multiple times is that, well, I can't understand it, therefore I can't be informed, therefore it's not information.
Well, who gets to say that?
Organizations trying to avoid having to pay large penalties for non-compliance.
Got it. Well, why don't we just keep the definition any information and inclusive of, and can be that can be in, that that can include be inclusive of. Because if it isn't machine readable, if they put it in a PDF or that's not in a machine readable format, then they could skip accountability too. You kind of think, how can that be exited from? Oh, well, we won't put it in machine readable form.
So, Andy, I'm sorry to interrupt. Is there So the difference you're hearing is some people are saying that because they can't read it, it's data. So if it, what if it said any other data or information?
That's fine.
Or how about the additional sentence that just says information includes human and machine readable? I don't know.
I'm happy with either. I just don't want us to inadvertently provide a back door for organizations to elect to utilize rather than comply.
So what it sounds like the group is saying, and I think we can put it in here and come back to it again, is to leave the definition the way it is, but then read the basically define information below or say information includes both human and machine readable form. Is that?
I prefer to keep it in one sentence because, you know, it's just easier then to read and therefore comply with. But if that's the more elegant way, I'm comfortable either way.
And just to provide another option, definitely not trying to lead you all in any direction, but you could also, if the group split on this down the road, you could put that language in preamble. I know that's controversial, but add that clarifying language in preamble if everyone agrees, but leave the regulatory text the same.
I'll be okay with that too.
That sounds good.
But do you guys see what I'm trying to, what I'm suggesting we should protect against?
Yeah, I think you're trying to broadly make sure that patients get access to machine-readable data that is obviously relevant and can be well communicated, even though in original form it might not be. So I agree with that. I mean, preamble may be the place to put it. And I think maybe we flag it that it's meant to be broadly inclusive for.
Yes, that works too.
Broadly,
yeah, okay.
Inclusive. You know, maybe we add that of
Just change the recommendation to say, in preamble, please amplify the information is supposed to be both that which is readable by a human and understandable, and that which requires parsing by a machine or something like that. Do that, I think we've captured everything.
Yeah, Mark, is there a way for you to do that, just to capture that note and we can make sure it shows up?
Yeah, I'm offline right now, so yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Well, then I thought Andy was doing it. Let me make sure. Can you I want to make sure I capture it accurately. So repeat that one more time.
We're going to remove the underlined portion under the recommendation that Andy put here.
Okay.
Just delete it.
I'll do that. Yeah.
With pleasure.
I'm just taking a note to myself here. Yeah. Okay.
And then add a flag that says that we're going to address in the preamble that any other information includes information that is both readable by human or machine readable form.
Okay.
And somebody else make that sentence pretty.
Yeah, we recommend that they do.
And Mark, can you explain the weight of a preamble versus it being tagged in the back and with a separate sentence in
sure.
Definition, because everything is nuanced, and I just would really help clarification.
Yeah, no, I think it's a really important point, and I really should be better at explaining it, because I feel like this is probably, for every work group, I've tried to do that. Even internally I think there are questions about, you know, preamble versus reg text. So I'll just say what our position is, because it's not always black and white. I mean, preamble should be read in conjunction with reg text. Like, reg text is, you know, it's always shorter than preamble, and preamble explains kind of how we got to the reg text and provides examples and clarifying and language and color to the regulatory text. That being said, there should never be a situation where an agency is creating new requirements in preamble. So that's problematic. If you read the preamble and you say, huh, this is a requirement that they're saying in preamble, but it's not included in reg text, that would be problematic. But generally, the way we approach it is the regulatory text is supplemented by the preamble, and it explains what is our intent and how we got there. But the preamble is still part of the regulation and should be read as such.
Does it hold accountability? Because I'm going to look at what Andy's saying and give an example. So, you know, if a patient has certain testing results that over time can be traced, and also if they get it in machine-readable format versus a non-machine-readable format, then they can have an app or have other applications, you know, through that open APIs. If it's a machine-readable, then they can actually aggregate the data and plot it and chart it and notify alerts, right, to a patient of trending, right? But if there's withholding of the machine-readable or even coding, because pricing is also very important here, if we look at withholding of that and the preamble doesn't have the accountability of both getting, you know, moving to the future of us being able to manage our care in a consumer way, we're going to want it machine readable. We're going to want to have the analytics, and we're going to want to have the coding clearly aggregated for us. So and given. So I just throw that out there to say the weighting of this is also important for accountability to get it in human and in machine-readable format in our access to our records.
No, that's really helpful, and I think using this real-world example is a good way to approach it. So what I would say is that if you think the definition of EHI would not clearly address the scope of the information you want if we don't have human or machine-readable form in it, then that should be added. However, if you think the definition in the regulatory text is good, but that it's important as an explanation of what we mean to include the example of that it includes human or machine-readable form, then that would be okay to add to preamble. You want the reg text to be very, very clear and to get at what we want it to get at, but you also obviously can't make the reg text as long as preamble because, needless to say, people would not like that too much.
It becomes preamble.
Yeah, so that's where I'd leave it. I'm not going to make a decision for sure for the group, but if you think it's important enough to be included in the definition, because it goes to the entire framework of the definition you're trying to revise, then it should be in reg text. But if you think it's more explanatory as an example, then preamble is the place to put it.
I think what's really important that Andy brought to this point of machine readable is if you think about people getting their testing results across systems, I know that we have people report to us now that one will be in machine readable format and then another lab will be in a PDF and they can't aggregate data and look at trends. And I think, you know, as we move, we're in this moment of time where the technology exists, perhaps we add it that, you know, with the broadened desire to have it in human and machine-readable format, and then we give an example and we give a broader definition in the preamble. So it's both, perhaps, you know what I'm saying, so that the applications in the preamble and the use, we want to make this data usable for the patient.
But I guess, one other consideration is that sometimes, so for instance, like human or machine readable, like I said, I view it as kind of a clarifying language. So if there's other, if we want to keep the definition of health information, electronic health information really broad, without, because there could, I guess a consideration is like, is there other clarifying language that could be put in there? Or, I mean, a narrowing language that could be suggested. I guess all I'm saying is you want to be careful about scope when you change the definition in reg text. In preamble, you can be a little more, it's more forgiving because you can use it as an example in there versus reg text, you're putting it in as the definition.
As opposed to information that's understandable by a dog?
Well, no. I mean, I'm not speaking to whether dogs can or cannot understand our writing. But, I guess I'm just saying, like I said, if you want it in the definition, it should go in reg text. If you want it as kind of an explanation of the definition, I'd say preamble.
Stick it in preamble. Let's move on.
All right, Mark, what's next that we have time? We've got 8 minutes before we go to public comment.
Well, so I think on the agenda, along with the, well, I guess if there are any other issues that you all want to talk about the definition of electronic health information, or I guess we could talk more broadly in those 8 minutes about the pricing issue as well.
Let's go to pricing and get that out of the way, I guess. Mark, was that, I mean, Mike, was that work?
Yeah,
that's fine.
8 minutes. 8 minutes is enough, Andy?
No, but we'll start with it.
Yeah.
So, the sentiment that came out of the task force as a whole, I believe, is that whilst we all consider pricing transparency important, we're not sure how these regulations are the appropriate place to give full consideration to, you know, frankly, what's a very complicated series of issues. That said, we have been asked to give some comment in here. I think it was left as the group will go back and discuss this and work out what the heck we're going to suggest. So this is that discussion.
So this is Denny, and I still feel like, although price transparency is very, very important, that it is out of scope for this regulation and should be tackled in its own regulation. I think we'll undermine the effectiveness of what we're really trying to accomplish, just with the sharing of information, health information about a patient for the care that they received. If we get it more, even more jumbled up than it already is in the regulation with price transparency. But that's just
you'd end up inadvertently having a piece of pork barreling going on. Is that kind of paraphrasing what you're saying?
Pardon, I couldn't understand you.
So I was saying we would inadvertently end up doing some pork barreling by including stuff which was never intended to really be in here just because we have some regulation to hang it off.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's very important that it does need to be addressed. But I just feel like this isn't the place. But.
Thank you. I believe firmly this is the place because I go back to the definition of of the health information and the patient's health information and the electronic health information. And it is inclusive of both clinical as well as payment and past, present, and future. So, future payment is price, and I think, you know, we look at the depth of what has been asked in the RFI of the request for information on pricing. And I think this is something that, you know, we hear every day from patients and their stories and even physicians themselves at not knowing the price and needing the price to manage not only their control of their health, but of their wealth. You know, they're being pushed to have higher deductibles, higher out-of-pocket copays, and high health insurance plan coverage. And people want access. And this is the information blocking time of cures to provide that. And this information is exchanged and it is networked. And that's
okay.
Where it all began. Yeah, so that's where I come
in. So I think it's good that we have it in the definition wrapped up. Do you think that there is sufficient hooks inside this regulation to make price transparency happen? As it stands right now, do we have sufficient rules in here, or at least going some way to enabling price transparency? You know, do you think we're going to need more regulation, or do you think this is it? This is good enough?
I think there's a lot here that there's a lot here to provide it to the patients. You have information blocking, you have accountability, and you have the patient's connectedness to their information. So you have a lot
awesome.
Right here.
Okay. So can we therefore leave as it currently sits with the definition inside electronic health information? And, you know, our recommendation is there should be potentially further regulation around, you know, the how it's going to happen. But we're actually pretty comfortable with where this is sitting right now. It sounds like, Cynthia, you are pretty comfortable with current drafting as it is.
Yeah. I don't see it on the screen. I see the... Yeah, does anybody
EHI,
else have any comments?
We have the term payment in the definition of EHI.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Future payment.
Past, present, future.
So I shouldn't probably bring this up, but payment isn't price.
Yeah, wouldn't that be implicit?
Well, I don't know. When I ask and go to a restaurant and I ask for a menu and I see the price, it's what I'm going to pay as a future payment. If those two words are combined, a future payment is what my price is. And that's the real price.
Please let's not talk about cost at this point.
No. I agree 100%.
But it sounds like we're actually all kind of a mind here. We can leave the current drafting of EHI intact, and our recommendation when they're asking for comments is this is probably not the right place to give further discussion about price transparency and the means that might take place, but that should be the subject of future regulation.
What do you mean by that, Andy?
Well, I mean that, you know, I don't think, well, my personal opinion, I think, is that without setting a lexicon for transparency, without putting in place a mechanism for organizations to share pricing information on a apples-to-apples basis, we will never get full transparency. And that is not talked about in here. And I think that will be a useful subject of future regulation.
And before we go too much further, it's time for public comment. I didn't, not to be rude and stop conversation, but we did excited we'd have public comment at this time.
Sure. Thanks, Mike. Operator, can we open the public line?
Sure. If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Once again, to make a public comment, please press star 1 at this time. One moment while we poll for comments.
Thank you. I don't see too many participants, so we'll see if we have any takers.
I would really like to hear some public comment, because I'd like to understand whether we are reflecting certainly what we all hear out in the marketplace.
Sure. Awesome. Yeah. Operator, do we have any comments in the queue?
No public comments in the queue as of yet.
Okay. Hey, Andy.
Yes, ma'am.
Just a flag for, I did like on the, whether it's preamble or included in definition, is, inclusive of human and machine readable, and the word inclusive.
That's good.
It just came to mind.
I think that's an excellent idea.
Versus weather.
Okay, I'll write that, add it in right now.
Okay, so I guess we'll have 8 more minutes for discussion since there's no public comments.
I was going to say, is there anything you all want me to add to the Google Doc for price transparency, Ben? Or because it sounds like there might be some resolution on some aspects.
I think my point was that my belief is that there should be future regulation around this, because I'm not sure the market will work out how to do this without some direction. That's just and that's a personal view.
So, and when you say future regulation, do you mean the final rule that we will be putting out, or totally separate future regulation? Okay.
Separate future regulation. No, not least, because I think it might delay this rule substantially.
Any other comments about?
No. I just think we have a lot of tools in CURES to provide for health information and I think I understand Andy's concerns, and I do think that transparency and posting that and having that transparency in the marketplace will address a significant information blocking.
Yeah, absolutely. If the market works Cynthia, will be more delighted than me if the market magically sorts itself out on the basis of what we have right here. I would be delighted if that was the case. You worked in this market a long, long time, and you know that the market tends to like direction to do resolution as opposed to arbitrarily fix itself.
So I would just direct everyone. I mean, I guess it sounds to me like there's at least two different viewpoints. And there is, the discussion, maybe to reread that, because there are specific questions. And Andy and Michael, I think we talked about this, that there could be two different recommendations or a majority-minority recommendation potentially. Because it's from my understanding, it seems like Cynthia might be in a different place than Andy and other folks. Is that right?
I'm not sure. I think we're all in agreement that there's nothing more to happen here.
Well, okay. So does that mean that it should be understood that, that pricing information is included in our definition of EHI and that OIG should enforce information blocking concerning pricing information, or is it a different understanding?
That's my understanding of the group.
That's my understanding as well.
So if that's the understanding, I think it'd be helpful from our perspective to get a better sense of what you all mean by price information and kind of the scope of that, because that's kind of what the request for information is about, parameters and implications of including price information within the scope of EHI. So like, for instance, should prices that are included in EHI reflect the amount to be charged to and paid for by the patient's health plan, the amount to be charged to and collected from the patient, including drugs or medical services, you know, all those questions we have in there.
Then on another call, we shall go through those, but it might well be that our recommendation is to set up a task force to consider those.
Okay.
Okay, so what else should we discuss today? We have right at 3 minutes, a little bit less left. I don't know that we can really start anything new in 3 minutes. Is there anything else anybody'd like to say if we'll cut off a few minutes early? Cynthia, Denny?
Cynthia, are you comfortable that in the considerations today we've appropriately reflected the intent of 21st Century Cures and what Congress was wanting us to put in place?
You know, I think we have more work to do on the network and the exchange side, which we sort of parked to come back to, I believe, right? We were going to come back to that. And I think, you know, it's probably a good place for us to, you know, sort of hit the refresh. And I think we're working hard. These are significant issues, right? And they have substantial downstream consequences. So to answer you, I think we're all working to the best interest, and I think, you know, we're working to try to keep that patient in front of and center.
Okay. Thank you.
So, you know, I thank everybody for that. You know, these are big issues and they're difficult.
Agreed. Denny, did you have anything else to add? If not, we will end this one 2 minutes
later. Yeah, I don't exactly have anything to add, except I do hope myself and all of us could come with some constructive thoughts. I think Andy did that better than the rest of us about here's some wording, here's some suggestions. I just think it would help us and provide clarity.
I agree. That's one of the things I wanted to end with, was that, you know, we need to spend the time between now and the next work group meeting looking at that document and coming up with ideas and inserting those into the Google Docs so that we can read and review those before the next meeting so that we can be as productive as possible. But if there's nothing else, and I do appreciate Andy and everyone's discussion, Andy editing the text and putting the wording in there, but thank you all for the hard work. This is a difficult task. There's a lot to get done, so thank you all for giving the time to work on this.
Thank
you. And with
you.
That, we will conclude.
You're welcome, sir. Take care. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. Okay, bye-bye.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Thanks, Andy.